Hello, everybody. News with Nick, February 18th, 2021. Head on over to the website. It's newswithnick.com. You can get the video version of every show, and you can see all the past shows. And I don't know. Oh, in the top right of the news of the website, type your phone number into the little box. It says, send me text updates, and then you'll get a text update for every time you want to hear me live. I don't know. I have no clue what's going on. I forget how to do this. It's been a month. Stuff's happened. We'll get into it momentarily. We haven't even done a show since the president became the president, Biden, right? Has anything even happened with that? I've been like, I keep forgetting that he's the president. And so a few days after the presidency happened, is that what it's called? The presidency happened. Biden, people on Facebook were like, I just watched Biden's press conference and it was so boring and I'm so thankful that it was so boring. I'm like, do you people have any brains? This is the worst thing that could happen. Everything's so boring now. There's nobody to yell at. There's no constantly rotating press girls that are like, I don't know what Trump did last week, but it was probably fine. Boy, I haven't even watched them. Nothing good is even happening. So boring. Anyway, what else was I going to say about the website? I don't know. I'll get to it. Man, this might be a quick show if I have no clue what's going on. I had two sips of beer. Now I feel drunk. Just kidding. Oh, wait. I got to post this to my Facebook. Hang on. We'll edit this out of the show. I always like to put one on my Facebook. News show recording live. Newswithnick.com/live. I've said this before. You gotta be able to stand behind what you do. If you post it to Portman Show and you can't post it to your own Facebook and you can't stand behind the words you put out, then maybe you shouldn't be saying them. Maybe if you can't have your face shown with anything associated with a lion with two balls, I don't know. Maybe you shouldn't be putting balls on lions. Anyway. Oh, so, all right. About a month ago, just casually sitting around the house, and then all of a sudden, my whole family got COVID. So that was pretty cool. Email from my mother. Today, I tested positive for COVID-19. I tested negative on Monday, and I had been using all the appropriate equipment when I went to work. Last night, I had a little cough, and today, a little headache, so I checked my temperature. It was over 99 degrees three times in an hour. Usually, it's 97.4. I called work, and they tested me, and I showed positive in less than a minute. I'm not really sick. This is quite complicated, because yesterday, Grandma had an urgent dental appointment to address some pain in her jaw. So, I took her there. We spent 45 minutes And then after the dental appointment, we spent 45 minutes cruising around the dollar store. I did try to stay away from my sisters and Grandma, knowing I was potentially infectious from work, but Grandma was sitting behind me in the car. We were both wearing masks. Oh, well. My mother gets COVID. I'm like, oh, my God, this is the worst. It is real. Who knew? Right? We thought this was fake. But apparently you can get a cough and then test positive for COVID. So I guess it's real. So I'm like, well, okay. Well, hopefully Grandma doesn't get it. A few days later. And by the way, a test that takes only 1 minute. Like, I've been tested a few times for work. And it's like 20 hours later. They're like, ah, you're good. 20 hours is like the quickest test they can do. But apparently these ones are like, ah, you're positive in 1 minute. And apparently, it's a little bit accurate. I was just assuming that if it was a 1 minute test, they just flip a coin within the machine, like a slot machine. It's like, are you COVID today or not? But no, apparently it does do a real test. Who knew? And it comes out positive. So I'm like, Mom, no. I was like, no, there's no way. A 1 minute test, are you kidding me? So you had a little bit of a cough. It's probably sensing like a false. It probably senses cough. It has a microphone on it. And if someone around it coughs, it's like, oh, that must be a COVID. I'm just going to say COVID so that everyone around me looks smart or thinks I'm smart. I'm like, obviously not. That's not true. Then mom says, oh, so I visited grandma the other day, check on how she was doing. And while I was there visiting, and they visit through a window, right? They don't visit in the room of the facility. While I was there, they tested her and they came back within a minute and said, she's positive too. I'm like, oh no, grandma. That's the one person we've tried to protect this whole time. Don't go out. You're going to kill grandma. Well, grandma has COVID. And I'm like, what the heck? This is crazy. I guess hopefully my grandma doesn't die of COVID. Long story short, cut to weeks later. Everything seems fine. Oh, in the meantime, dad gets it too. Right, like, okay, now dad has COVID. Everyone's got COVID, my entire family. And he's got it the worst. Fever, shortness of breath for a few days, no hospitalizations. Several days later, I'm like, how's grandma doing? Mom's like, grandma's fine. So? Well, I wonder how it went. We got to call her up.
Hello.
Hello, grandma. This is Nick.
Hi, Nick. How are you?
I'm all right. How are you?
Okay.
I kind of want to just hear about how you were doing in, over the past couple of weeks.
Well, I really wasn't doing much different than I would if I had a bad cold.
Okay.
I think I'm finding a few things that are coming now afterwards. I'm having a hard time pulling up things that I want to say. They don't exactly come up, but some other people have told me that I have the same problem, so it may be that it's a thing that's happening to people after that. But as far as the virus goes, it was not a bad, like a cold, but it was just annoying to be 2 weeks quarantined. Now they put a plastic coop like around the doors.
Mm-hmm.
So, and the nurses had to put on their plastic things every time they came in and out of the room.
Wow.
Which,
in the news, you know, there's a lot of arguments about whether or not we need to be taking all the precautions we are. And one of the main points is that the older people are more susceptible and to being ill from the virus.
Yeah, I think that they have a when you hear the numbers that go to the hospital and you hear the nursing home death tolls,
mm-hmm.
you can see that they are more likely to be taken. And I think that they're doing the right thing by giving the vaccine for the first, most of them. In fact, I had a different procedure after I had it, so I cannot have the vaccine. But our house here is having their second vaccine drive tomorrow. They'll have the second. They had the first one just before I caught it.
Mm-hmm.
And they'll be getting the second one tomorrow, but I can't have it after I had the other procedure.
Right.
So
and the other procedure was a treatment that they did in reaction to you having tested positive for COVID, right?
Yes.
Okay. Now, a couple weeks after the second vaccination that's going to go through your house, are they going to start letting guests in, do you think?
No, I think it's going to be a gradual time of maybe getting people to get asked to go and have meals together, maybe eventually. Last time they did it just for a little while, but then they made a bunch of people sick, so then they had to go to, had to stop being back to our eating in the room all the time.
Uh-huh.
Where this has been a year, just about a year now, that we've had to eat in our rooms.
I know. Yeah, it was last March that you guys started getting locked down, as we say, or put in your rooms.
Mm-hmm.
And so having gotten the coronavirus, do you regret having gone to the dollar store?
No.
No? Just curious.
I guess that I'm not sure whether I had your mother take me to the dentist, so I think that I asked for it.
Right.
I was in the car with her, so it was my own responsibility for having to. I don't blame her at all.
Okay. Well, it was just bad luck. Some people would say don't stop at the dollar store, but you're right. You probably didn't get COVID from the dollar store. What I end up wondering is, since you've said it's a year in your room and getting COVID was pretty lonely, especially that time period, but I'm wondering if it's all worth it. Was the quarantine worth it? Because, I mean, you did get ill. A lot of people aren't going to. But it's a lot of precautions for a whole year long to avoid one sickness. What do you think?
Everybody, Nick, it's all the people that they take the precautions for, and for all the people around you. It's not only even the residents, we have the staff that are working here, and a lot of staff that are in and out. So,
okay.
Yeah.
So you're still happy to do your part even after having got COVID?
Definitely. I would rather that it was different, but I can't say that I wouldn't do it over again. Well, that's what you have to think about when you get grumpy about masks and that kind of stuff. It's not just yourself, it's other people in the world. You have to be concerned about them.
Mm-hmm.
And it's never going to end unless people start being concerned about people.
That was an interview with... Oh, wait. I got to play this off. All right, Grandma, thanks for that. You're welcome. Goodbye. I love you very much, Nick. Bye. That was an interview with my grandma. A couple weeks after she was done getting COVID, if you couldn't tell, it was pre-recorded and edited, just so that no one calls me out on Fox News. Podcaster edits his interview with his own grandma to make it seem different than it was. So apparently, Nick's grandma says, wear masks. If you get grumpy about it, just think of all the people you're protecting. Well... What are you gonna? I guess we wear masks now. Sorry, Grandma, for the times I haven't. But anyway, so that's an interview with Grandma. She's doing fine, no problems. Hopefully, the plastic is off her door. I didn't even ask. So they had to put plastic on her door so that I guess I'm not sure how that works. Cause are they saying like a door? Oh, probably because the door opens, but they like air seal it, like so the plastic closes. Then the door opens so that the virus can't like stand by the door like a cat going, all right, I'm going to run out the door as soon as this door opens. The virus will run out the door, but then it runs into the plastic. It's like, oh, foiled by foil, foiled by plastic again. So the virus is always running into plastic all the time. It's like, oh no, plastic, my worst enemy. It's keeping me away from people's noses. Well, anyway, everyone's fine. Nothing to worry about. So Take that for what you will, I guess. I don't know. Here's a news story that the news is liking to blow up this week. Trump was sicker than acknowledged with COVID-19. President Donald J. Trump was sicker with COVID-19 in October than publicly acknowledged at the time, with extremely depressed blood oxygen levels at one point and a lung problem associated with pneumonia caused by the coronavirus, according to four people familiar with his condition. His prognosis became so worrisome that he was taken to Walter Reed National Military Medical Hospital that officials believed he would need to be put on a ventilator, two of the people familiar with his condition said. The people familiar with Mr. Trump's health said that he was found to have lung infiltrates, which occur when the lungs are inflamed and contain substances such as fluid or bacteria. Their presence, especially when a patient is exhibiting other symptoms, can be a sign of an acute case of the disease. They can be an acute case. That seems not so bad. Ah, it's just an acute case. Now, if it was an obtuse case of the disease, you'd be like, whoa. And then if it's a 360-degree case, you're like, oh, you're dead. You're close. How close you are to death is how large the angle is to going 360 degrees. Their presence, especially when the patient is exhibiting other symptoms, can be a sign of an acute case of the disease. They can be easily spotted on an X-ray or scan when parts of the lungs appear opaque or white. Ah, gross. Mr. Trump's blood oxygen level alone was a cause for extreme concern, dipping into the 80s, according to people familiar with his evaluation. The disease is considered severe when the blood oxygen level falls to the low 90s. Man, Trump's COVID thing was so boring. I woke up one day, I was like, oh, Trump has COVID. This is crazy, right? And then it was 2 days later, and they did that video of him flying back to the White House. He was like, oh, I'm back, better than ever. It had been previously reported that Mr. Trump had trouble breathing and a fever on October 2nd, the day he was taken to the hospital, blah, blah, blah. But the new details about his condition and the efforts inside the White House to get him special access to an unapproved drug to fight the virus to help flesh out one of the most dire episodes of Mr. Trump's presidency. All right, whatever. So that was a funny story. More COVID news. Here's the newest from the CDC. This is updated February 19th. That doesn't make any sense. Oh, please note this report has been corrected. Wearing a mask that fits tightly to your face can help limit spread of the virus that causes COVID-19. They're saying this now? In February? Universal masking is one of the prevention strategies recommended by the CDC to slow the spread of COVID-19. As of February 1st, 2021, 38 states and Washington, D.C. had universal masking mandates. Mask wearing has been mandated by executive order for federal property, as well as on domestic and international transportation coverage. So I was just trying to look up here. During January 2021, the CDC conducted experimental simulations using pliable elastomeric source and receiver head forms to assess the extent to which two modifications to medical procedure masks, one, wearing a cloth mask over a medical procedure mask, and two, knotting the ear loops of a medical procedure mask where they attach to the mask edges and then tucking in and flattening the extra material close to the face, could improve the fit of these masks and reduce the I'm squishing my face to try to simulate wearing a mask. Could improve the fit of these masks and reduce the receiver's exposure to an aerosol of simulated respiratory droplet particles of the size considered most important for transmitting SARS-CoV-2. Okay, so they're saying that you should wear a cloth mask over the medical procedure mask. So they're doing double masking, and this is getting a lot of attention here because it's like, all right, way back in April, it was like, are you going to wear a mask? No. You have to. Fine. Now, it's going to be, do you have to wear two masks? Like, how many masks are we going to go up to? What's the limit? It's like, in a couple months, like, well, three? How about do three? Anyway. Interesting. So it's fun to follow how this is going, how the recommendations are changing. I wish the recommendations would change in such a way that we could remove some things like those arrows in the grocery store. That makes no sense. Or are we just going to keep those forever because people like to move in the same direction? They don't like to run their carts into each other. Right? It's like, oh, maybe the arrows in the grocery store are a good idea. If I'm walking in the grocery store and I need something and it's in an aisle where it's pointing to exit and I can't go in, I just can't have it that time. I'm not walking all the way around this store. Are you kidding me? So on one hand, we say, okay, we've done more research. We've found that double masking or tying, you know, you have to spend 3 years in the Boy Scouts to figure out how to tie this mask the way they want it to. But after that, you can get a good seal. We've done some studies, and this shows that it's good, so follow the science. And on the other hand, they're like, I don't know, just follow the arrows. Who cares? Why can't we follow the science for the arrows? I'm pretty sure the arrows do nothing. I don't know. So we should remove the... Just take the arrow material, stick that to your face. You'll be fine. Thursday marked the first day that companions of Massachusetts residents over the age of 75 with an appointment to get a COVID-19 vaccine could sign up to get vaccinated at the same time at one of the state's mass vaccination sites. This is from Massachusetts. Officials say the new eligibility, which is designed to incentivize more groups in the 75-plus group to get vaccinated, is meant for trusted friends and family members who might provide some comfort to seniors who would otherwise be worried about the logistics of getting the vaccine by themselves. But it appears to have had some unintended consequences. Several dozen Craigslist ads in the Boston area and other parts of Massachusetts have popped up since the policy was announced Wednesday, anonymously offering seniors free rides to their vaccine so that they could also get vaccinated. Some are even offering to pay money, up to $200 for the opportunity. Totally normal for your state's vaccination plan to create a market on Craigslist for people willing to pay seniors to their appointments. Steve Owens, a Watertown Democrat, said, Governor Charlie Baker said it was pretty disturbing that people were trying to take advantage of the program and urged seniors not to pursue such offers. If you're 75 or older and you need assistance getting through the vaccination process, you should reach out to someone that you know or trust to bring you to your companion. Oh, to bring as your companion. Don't take calls or offers from people you don't know very well or trust, and never share your personal information with anyone. Wait, what? They get to the doctor, they're like, okay, we're going to need to know your name and some info about you so we don't vaccinate you twice. Like, no, no, no. Charlie Baker said never give your personal information to anyone. If you're contacted by someone soliciting you to take you to a site, please report it to the authorities. So here's a screenshot. Company to a COVID vaccine, free pickup and drop off for COVID vaccine, free transport to vaccine for eligible senior. So I'm like, all right. I'm going to check it out. I'm going to go on my own search, and I'm going to go to Craigslist on my own. I'm going to see what if I wanted to drive an old person to their appointment and get a vaccine in Massachusetts. Could I? So I head on over to Western Massachusetts. This is posted 8 days ago. Hello. If you're 75 plus and in Western Massachusetts, I'm happy to drive you to a COVID vaccine appointment if you have been worried about going alone or unable to get there yourself. I work from home, I get tested weekly, I wear a good mask, blah, 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 blah. I'll do this for free. I am looking to get a vaccine for health reasons and would like to help out someone, then hopefully more people safely will post later who needs to get there. I can help more if I can be safe to myself and others. So this person is definitely in on the scam. The other thing I learned about Craigslist is if you just search a word, people post their opinions like it's Facebook. I did not know this. So if you head on over to Craigslist, I'm going to do it again. Vaccine. This is all I'm going to search for. In community. Okay. Oh, here's another one. Adults 75 plus need a ride to your COVID vaccine? ? This is posted today. The state is now allowing individuals to accompany the elderly to their appointments. I can help you book your appointment and then provide transportation to and from the appointment. That person doesn't say they want to get a vaccine. So people will just post their opinions. Like, opposed to vaccine, ? Wow, 1,000 people had adverse reactions, ! That's a lot of people. The number of COVID vaccines administered to date in the U.S. is upwards of 94 million. That's an adverse reaction rate of 0.001063%. Adverse reactions, basically, blah, blah, blah. So people just go on Craigslist and post their opinions. I didn't even realize this was happening. Crazy. Whatever. So, if you want to get a vaccine, drive a old person to Gillette Stadium, apparently, and be like, hey, I'm looking for Tom Brady. Is he 75 yet? And have another Super Bowl ring? I got an email the other day. Yesterday, rather. This happens from time to time, but hasn't happened for quite a while. Usually it happens after FBI raids and stuff where people want my videos. Hi there, Nick. My name is Patrick Tracy, and I'm a segment producer with the A&E series Court Cam. I hope you're doing well. I hate it when people say that in an email. Hope this email finds you doing well. No, I'm never doing well. What can I do for you? I'm reaching out today to ask whether you are the rights holder for the following video of the Bo Davis arrest from 2011. And I was like, what? What is this guy talking about? The show is potentially interested in telling this story, so I wanted to find out whether the video would be potentially licensable for use in the show. If you're not the rights owner, do you know who is? Blah, blah, blah. I wrote back to this guy after watching the video. Yeah, it's me. Here's the video. It's me sitting in a courtroom, and a bailiff walks up to this kid, this guy, Bo, and he's wearing a hat. And they're mad. They're mad.
Take the hat off. Or step outside.
Define.
That's what I was looking for, was the definition of disrespect. Yeah.
Now, there are many people who consider it disrespectful not to wear a hat.
Wow, Rich Paul's pretty skinny in this. Holy crap.
Jews, for example, and Muslims are required to wear a hat in church, so this may be his way of showing respect, not disrespect. Who knows? Are you saying that some religions are right and other religions are wrong?
And so I have force threatened upon me if I were to wear a hat.
We're not forcing. We're just asking you to leave.
No, the ultimate.
All right, so the bailiff comes up and starts telling Bo Davis, take your hat off. Rich Paul argues with him because he's cool. And he eventually gets arrested and put in a wheelchair. And I am the ballsiest person on earth. I can't believe we used to do this back in the day. Our whole life was just we lived with four other people, and then we just wake up multiple times per month and just go to court. It's like, all right, is it a court day? All right, everyone get it. Everyone, we're walking down to the court. It's another court day. Come on. I start walking behind this bailiff while they're wheeling Bo Davis away, and I just keep walking, like, up until the judge's table, until a bailiff grabs me and says, you can't
be up here. You can't be up here. This is a secure area. Go back there, please.
Isn't...
Whatever. Crazy. Bailiff's like, secure area. Get out of here. Anyway, that was pretty funny. So that's going to be on A&E's Court Cam if you guys want to check it out. I'm famous from being behind the camera. I don't know. The chat says, wow, Rich Paul looks normal. You know, I'm really torn about this guy, Rich Paul. There's not... You can say some bad things about some things, but on the other hand, the FBI went up to Rich Paul and said, we're going to put you in jail for like years unless you wear a wire and walk into Ian Freeman's house and get in bed with him and have Ian Freeman whisper secrets into your chest. But if you do that, we're going to pay you millions of dollars and you'll be a free man. And you might basically be the king of Russia. And Rich Paul was like, I don't think so. I'm no snitch. And they're like, all right, you're going to jail. And Rich Paul was like, okay. Right? How can you be mad at a man that does that? 2 weeks ago, was the Super Bowl 50-something with Tom Brady from the Buccaneers. We had a huge VR party. So I have handed out Oprah Winfrey style, these Quest 2s to everyone. And you got this application called Big Screen. It's free. You get Big Screen, you invite all your friends, and you go sit in a living room like this. To people not in the video version, I'm just showing a picture of an inside of a large room in VR where we're in VR and we've had a party where I put my headset on and sit in my VR room and everyone else puts their headset on and sits in their VR room. And our brains tell us, wow, we're all in the same room watching the Super Bowl. That was freaking crazy. I loved it. And you guys see the party afterwards? Tom Brady went on a boat in Tampa. He's not used to partying in Florida after a Super Bowl win. He usually is partying at Gillette Stadium, as we previously said, where it's freezing. And he's bundled up on his party train. But no, in Tampa, they take boats and they drink. And Tom Brady says, give me that Lombardi trophy. I'm going to throw it across the bay. Tom Brady takes the Lombardi trophy, the trophy you get for winning the Super Bowl, and throws it from one boat to another in the Tampa Bay. Is that what they call it in Tampa Bay? You're like, that's the Tampa Bay. I would assume that is what it's called. Like, I'm not making a joke. So Tom Brady throws the Lombardi trophy from one boat to another. It's caught by the teammates, and there it is fun. And then he got off the boat, and he was super drunk, and his handlers were like, no, no, Tom, this way. Stop hugging everyone. It's COVID. And people are not mad at all, except for this one lady. Lorraine Groves says that the Tom Brady trophy toss is insulting to her family's legacy, and she would like an apology. She is the daughter of Greg Ross, the master silversmith who crafted the first Lombardi trophy. Okay, so because you're a daughter of a guy who worked in the silver mill, it's like he woke up in the morning, he's like, another day forging the Lombardi trophy. It takes 300 days a year. All I do is sit in here polishing this silver until it's the perfect pointed at both end shape with the perfect triangular base. And then I emerge 14-hour days for 9 straight months and I go, the Lombardi trophy has arrived. It's done.
And it takes a lot of work, a lot of hard work, a lot of hours go into it. It just really upset me that this trophy was disgraced and disrespected by being thrown as if it was a real football. I didn't sleep for the past 2 nights because of this. I was that upset.
She couldn't even sleep.
I know.
She could not even sleep. It wasn't even thrown like a real football. It was tossed like a baby. Like it was two-handed, like how you'd throw a baby. If you're going to throw a baby from one boat to the other, that's how it was thrown. It wasn't thrown overhand like a football.
That upset because I know the passion that goes into this trophy and how my dad and all his fellow silversmiths are so proud to make this. I personally would like an apology. Not just to me and my family and the other silversmiths, but to the fans.
The other silversmiths? Is there a cabal? A little, okay, we are the silversmiths of the Lombardi Trophy, and we meet every April to decide who will be the lead of the next 300 days forging of the Lombardi Trophy. Crazy. Crazy stuff. I want to get into the silversmithing business. It's probably nothing like I've described. It's probably nothing like that. It's probably really easy. All right, let's get into some funny news, if you want to do this. Speaking of grandmas, neighbors say a man dressed as a grandma caught stealing mail in a Charlotte neighborhood. Neighbors who live on Greencastle Drive in the Quail Hollow 4 neighborhood. So if you guys want to visit, head on over to Quail Hollow 4. Say for months, someone was coming into their neighborhood at night and snatching their mail. Two neighbors actually encounter the person who they thought was an elderly woman. Come to find out, the person they believe is responsible is actually a man. That was pretty shocking, neighbor Dana Keevan said. Since the holidays, residents reported letters and even credit and debit cards stolen right out of their mailboxes.
All new at 4, a man dressed as a grandma caught red-handed by a neighbor who says that he was stealing their mail. As Fox 46...
Rude. How do we know? How do we know? A man is dressed as a woman and you call that person a man? Is that even allowed?
Explains this didn't stop the thief from coming back for more either. Take a look.
Neighbors who live on Greencastle Drive in the Quail Hollow 4 neighborhood say for months someone was coming into their neighborhood at night and snatching their mail. Two neighbors actually encountered the person who they thought was an elderly woman. Come to find out the person they believe is responsible is actually a man.
That was pretty shocking.
Last week a neighbor snapped this photo.
Oh my god, there's a photo. Older woman. I don't know. I don't understand why it's not offensive that they keep calling this person a man. Because when she takes off her clothes, she looks like a man to you. You think that's a man? Okay, bigot. Wear more masks. All right, let's find out. So, wow, that looks like a real lady. Oh, glass. Like, this person belongs right in the library.
Clutching their mail under her shirt. Since at least the holidays, residents reported letters and even credit and debit cards stolen right out of their mailboxes. They say the bandit was so bold they were caught in the act and confronted twice and still kept coming back week after week. Renee Jones sent Fox 46 this Ring video of the thief snatching her neighbor's mail right in front of her. They also got the car's license plate number. When the same rental car returned on Saturday, police were waiting and made an arrest. Though the suspect, a man with female aliases, faces unrelated charges. CMPD tells us officers are aware of several incidents of mail theft in the neighborhood and they are actively investigating. They are following leads, but there has been no one charged at this time. Residents tell us they feel violated and they're taking precautions.
Ooh, we kind of knew when it was going to be delivered. We picked up the mail and we were in process to actually put some cameras.
Yeah, you did.
With motion detector.
The cops picked up the mail.
I feel very relieved that at least that person's in custody.
Now, CMPD has not confirmed to Fox 46 that the suspect is the one they're investigating in connection with the mail thefts, but neighbors believe that it is. And coming up all new at 5, we'll tell you how they teamed up to track down the thief.
Oh my God, that'd be hilarious. It was a rental car, right? What if it was just the next renter of the car? Neighbors got the car's license plate number. When the same rental returned on Saturday, police were waiting. They followed the vehicle to a nearby Starbucks and made an arrest. The county records show that Charles Harrell was arrested on charges unrelated to mail theft. Wait, what? Hang on a sec. CMPD told Fox 46 officers are aware of several incidents of mail theft in the neighborhood and they are actively investigating. They are following leads, but there's no one charged at this time? Wait, something crazy is happening. I didn't do my research. This man was arrested, but he wasn't arrested for stealing mail. Oh, well, I can't figure it out. I don't know. I just Googled it. There's no information. Man dressed as a grandma caught stealing mail. He was arrested on charges unrelated to mail theft. Okay. Like, well, we think that this man is dressing like an old lady and stealing our mail, which, what a strange hobby, right? But I don't know. Maybe he wants more political ads. Maybe he's like, well, I got to get an early start on 2024. I'm going to need to pick up as many political ads as possible for the next 4 years while I'm dressed as an old lady and then figure out what's going on. Cincinnati, a local woman and her friends decided to throw her a party, but this was no ordinary get-together. They apparently wanted to celebrate her role in a drunk driving crash that sent two high school students to the hospital. This is similar to last week's news, last month's news, I guess, when I have to word it that way, of Kyle Rittenhouse. And when he went to the bar and they were like, you can't go to the bar and party. Which, by the way, is there any update to that? Not really. So, one of the drunk driving victims is fine. They say that in the article. But we don't care about her. We care about the person going to jail and getting a party.
Paula, the woman and her friends decide to throw a party, but this was no ordinary get-together, Paula.
They apparently wanted to celebrate her role in a drunk driving crash.
Oh, geez. Have you guys noticed this in the news recently? I'm sorry, we have to say it. They just copy and paste the teleprompter into the article. So what I just said is what they're saying. I guess I don't blame them. Why would you want to write the article twice? So you just write the article, and then you copy-paste the article into the teleprompter, and then you offset a camera on this Blackman. If you can see in the video version of the show, the cameraman for this anchor has offset it strangely. Maybe he's going for something artistic here, but it doesn't look right.
That sent two high school students to the hospital. Tessa DeTiro looks at what was being called an off-to-prison party and for the first time speaks exclusively to one of the victims.
Savannah Schluter is thankful to be back for her.
Okay. I want to know about the off-to-prison party so we don't care about the victim.
Emotionally struggling still.
Her friend Kayla Nagel was in the passenger seat. She's doing better too, but has a longer road to recovery and is still using a wheelchair.
I hate seeing her like that. I hate seeing her down and hurt and that I'm not like that, I guess you could say. So it's been harder. I haven't gotten to see her a lot.
This is the invitation for a Send Samantha Harvey Off to Prison party. Harvey pleaded guilty to being behind the wheel. The creator of the event tells me it's canceled. Rick's Tavern in Fairfield says it had no idea what the party was for. The restaurant posted today it would never host this kind of event. Candy Schluter says she's glad the party is off because it feels like a slap in the face.
Here's the post from Rick's Tavern and Grill. Some of you may have heard that we are hosting a going-to-prison party for someone that caused an alcohol-related accident that resulted in someone being paralyzed permanently. We do not condone this behavior. Our hearts go out to all that have been affected by this tragedy. This event has been canceled. Oh, yeah? What about free speech, Rick's Tavern and Grill? You canceling that, too? We are not involved in any way with this accident. However, we are currently looking into options for holding a fundraiser to benefit those involved. Please keep those girls and their families in your heart and in your prayers.
I feel like she has a disregard for, you know, the consequences and, you know, hurt that she caused.
Schluter says her daughter's recovery is nothing short of a miracle. Overcoming a traumatic brain injury and dozens of broken bones, she thanks God every day that Savannah is here and doing well.
I hope she takes that time to learn from it.
I feel like it's a little bit funny when your whole body's in a cast, but you're still wearing a mask. I know. Has nothing. Why not wear the mask, right? You could still catch COVID while in a full body cast, but it just looks funny. Like, okay, every bone in your body is broken, but before we take this photo of you, put on this mask so that it looks like you're still doing the right thing.
And doesn't get behind the wheel again in that state and maybe take somebody's life the next time.
Tessa DeTiro.
All right. So don't plan your going off to jail party. Don't plan your getting out of jail party, Kyle. Don't plan any parties with the word jail or prison in it, right? Because people will get you. They'll send it off to information to the news. Oh, I messed up my news here. So I had a Super Bowl news thing that I forgot to group with the Super Bowl thing. So near the third or fourth quarter of the game, time's running low. Looks like Tom Brady's going to win easily. All of a sudden, the game stops because there's a man running on the field. The Super Bowl streaker claims he won $375,000 by betting on himself. The 31-year-old interrupted the fourth quarter of Super Bowl 55 between the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, blah, 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 blah. He was sprinting onto the field wearing shorts and a pink swimsuit. His run was quickly ended by security officers who escorted him off the field. So, here's a video of the guy. He runs. He dodges one security guard. This was not shown on TV, by the way. Anytime the NFL cuts to the sideline and it's just players just sitting around doing nothing, usually something on the field has occurred. I don't know when the last time there was a Super Bowl streaker, right? So at these games, at every section, there's a man, a security guard. His whole job is to put his back to the field, to the most exciting part of the game, and watch the stands. The most exciting thing on girth could be happening. Most exciting thing on girth? Tom Brady could be leading the Patriots back on a 28-3 overtime, biggest comeback in the history of sports ever, and you're at the most historic event of all time, and your job is to have your back to it. And you've got to watch the audience and be like, nobody run on the field. Nobody run on the field. And a guy runs on the field.
Touchdown!
And he gets tackled at the one. Or, well, he slides. And he basically gets security guard jumps on him. Which basically he gave up. I wish he would have just kept trying to run for as long as possible. He said the idea for the stunt emerged when he saw that a gambling website offered +750 odds, so about 8-1 odds, if someone ran onto the field during the Super Bowl. He says he bet $50,000 on a prop bet and contacted everyone he knew to ask them to bet on someone storming the field. He got the tickets for the game and recruited a friend to serve as a decoy who distracted the security guard, allowing him to sneak onto the field. He said he made $375,000 in profit. However, his whopping win was doubted by reporter Patrick Everson, who said that a global market sportsbook spokesperson told him the claims were probably not true. No book in their right mind would take a $50,000 limit on that. Nowhere close. Okay. So he can't prove it, apparently. Let's see. Some news from TMZ. Here's a video. I don't know what this is.
Wow, 94.1. All right, so on the phone, we got the GOAT, the Super Bowl streaker, Yuri Andrade. What's good?
Oops. What is with the internet these days when you click out of the tab, it stops playing? No, I still want to hear it.
Good.
Is this a setting in Chrome or something? Someone write in. Because look, I play it, I switch tabs, it stops playing. I want to still hear it in the tab.
What's up,
Babs? How you doing? Okay, so I seen you in the club with Mike Evans last night. Did he approve of you running out on the field and doing what you did?
Oh, yeah, he told me he was a big fan. The general manager came up to me and asked me. He goes, hey, Mike Evans wants to take a picture with you. He loved it.
What? Really?
He was like, man, that was epic. I loved it. We were dying laughing from the sidelines. That was epic. He goes, you're the GOAT.
Yes, you are the GOAT, man. So where are you from in Florida?
I was born and raised in Florida.
We're not listening to this interview. Okay. If you want to check this interview, look up this guy on TMZ. Here's an update. A rep for the betting site Bovada tells the TMZ Sports that the company has launched an investigation into the claims, and it did identify some betting irregularities on our Super Bowl prop, will a fan run onto the field during the game? As a result, Bovada says it will refund all losing bets, along with all those who voted yes. We've determined to have had no part in the betting irregularities. So they're basically canceling the bet. They're saying, no, we're not paying, and everyone gets their money back. The implication from the statement is Bovada could nullify wagers connected to the premeditated stunt, which means they would not get paid. Okay. No crap, idiots. If you're betting with a place, their legal mumbo jumbo, that's what we say as libertarians, because we hate the law and we hate lawyers. Your legal stuff is going to be written in such a way that they can cancel a bet basically anytime they want, probably. So if you're going to do an Ocean's 11 style sneaking onto the field where you win $375,000, don't go on TMZ and say, hey, by the way, we distracted the guard and ran onto the field and stole $375,000 and no one had any idea. Because the people you stole the money from are going to be like, oh, okay, we'll look into that. Thank you for letting us know. And now you don't get your money. And what do you want to do? What are you going to do? Sue the offshore betting companies. I'm not sure if they're offshore anymore. But, and not win? I don't think so. But the last part I didn't word correctly, but that's okay. All right, let's get into the Texas. You guys happy you're not in Texas? I am. Texas is frozen. A couple nights ago, it was colder in Texas than it was in New Hampshire. At least 6 people are dead from a massive freeway pileup in Fort Worth, Texas. Over 100 vehicles were involved in the crash on I-35, and multiple people were trapped in their cars, the fire department said. This is even a couple days ago. 65 people were hurt in the accident, which was reportedly shortly after 6 a.m., authorities said. 36 people were transported from the scene, blah, blah, blah. So the highway freezes over, and they don't know what to do. And this isn't to make fun of them. You don't know what to do. You crash. Everyone's crashed, right? And you just keep crashing into each other. And this is just one of the things that's happening in Texas. Everything is freezing. They don't have basements over there as frequently, I don't think. So what happens with this water system is that the water goes to the house and then it comes out of the ground to go into the house. It comes out of the road. What word am I looking for? It comes out of the pipe, the main pipe, underground. But before it goes into the house, frequently it will come out of the ground and then go into the house. Because it doesn't freeze in Texas, that's crazy. Except it froze in Texas and then everyone's water is frozen. Look this stuff up. There's like people recording a burst pipe in their house and they're like, well, it's basically Jumanji now. We got the monsoon and it's coming and I guess the house is ruined. That's crazy. Every house in Texas is destroyed by frozen pipes. Everyone's out of power. They're dying left and right. People are starting their cars in their garages and then being like, this will keep us warm. Texas mayor quits after calling residents lazy and weak. Colorado City, Texas, the mayor of this Texas town of about 4,000 people. Okay, so it's not a huge Texas town. The mayor of our town said that we don't have very many shootings because the state is 99% white. Proven video, it's on freaking. And no one picked that story up. And I was like, I saw that video. I was like, why is this not getting picked up by every major news outlet? The mayor literally just said that, well, maybe I'll play it at the end of the show. We'll play it at the end of the show. I'll try to find it. The mayor said, there's not much violence in New Hampshire because we're pretty much all white. That guy didn't have to step down or get canceled. Colorado City, Texas, the mayor of this Texas town of about 4,000 people stepped down Tuesday in the wake of a controversial social media post in which he said residents without electricity and water due to the winter storm are lazy and weak, adding that local government and utility services owed them nothing. Tuesday morning, he voiced his frustrations about residents who he said called him to complain about power outages. All right, full text of the original post. So what did he post this on Facebook? Let's see. No one owes you or your family anything, nor is it the local government's responsibility to support you during trying times like this! Exclamation point. Sink or swim. It's your choice. The city and county, along with power providers or any other service, owes you nothing. I'm sick and tired of people looking for a damn handout. If you don't have electricity, you step up and come up with a game plan to keep your family warm and safe. If you have no water, you deal without and think outside the box and survive and supply water to your family. What? If you have no water, you deal without and think outside the box to survive and supply water to your family. If you were sitting at home in the cold because you have no power and are sitting there waiting for someone to come rescue you because you're lazy, is direct result of your raising. Only the strong will survive and the weak will perish. Folks, God has given us the tools to support ourselves in times like this. This is sadly a product of a socialist government where they feed people to believe that the few work and others will become dependent on handouts. I am sorry. Am I sorry that you have been dealing without electricity and water? Yes. but I'll be damned if I'm going to provide for anyone that is capable of doing it themselves. We have lost sight of those in need and those that take advantage of the system and mesh them into one group. Bottom line, quit crying and looking for a handout. Get off your ass and take care of your family. Funny. Bottom line, don't be a part of problem, be a part of the solution. All right, so his grammar's all, he could have had someone look this over. Hey, Nancy, I know you're a man dressed as an old lady, but can you come over and review this? I'm going to send this out. Does it look, do you see any misspellings or anything? Okay, then he made a second post. All, I have sat back and watched all this escalating and have tried to keep my mouth shut. I won't deny for 1 minute what I said in my post this morning. Believe me when I say that many of the things I said were taken out of context and some of which were said without putting much thought into it. I would never want to hurt the elderly or anyone that is in true need of help to be left to fend for themselves. I was only making the statement that those folks that are too lazy to get up and fend for themselves but are capable should not be dealt a handout. I apologize for the wording and some of the phrases that were used. I had already turned in my resignation and had not signed up to run for mayor again on the deadline that was February 12th. I spoke some of this out of the anger that the city and the county was catching for situations which were out of their control. Please understand, if I had to do it over again, I would have just kept my words to myself. And if I did say them, I would have used better wording and been more descriptive. Okay. To become a mayor of a 4,000-person town, I'm pretty sure you have to just walk into City Hall and be like, has anyone signed up to be mayor yet? And they go, no. And you go, I don't really want to. But before you leave, they go, no, no, no. You asked about it. We're putting you down. And you go, no, 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 please, no, I don't want to be mayor. They go, too bad, we need one. You're legally required now because you said the word mayor in my vicinity. They go, okay. I ask that each of you understand I never meant to speak for the city of Colorado City or Mitchell County. I was speaking as citizen, and I am not the mayor anymore. I apologize for the wording and ask that you please not harass myself or my family anymore. Okay, so it is pretty funny when you say the mayor did it, but it sounds like he was actually mentally set on not becoming the mayor anymore. So everyone's like, it's a mayor. How could a mayor say such a thing? Right. You can be a mayor. You can draw a box and go, this is a new city and I'm the mayor. Is that how legally that works? And you can be on all over the country because that's a funny headline. Anyway, so he's not the mayor anymore. But if you need a mayor, call this guy, maybe he's got some experience and he can come out. I guess it would be really annoying if all of your citizens are calling your home phone and being, hello, we're kind of dying here. Can you send someone? You're the city. Please take care of me. And you're like, no. We're literally a city of 4,000. We have nothing. We don't have a fire department and we have one vehicle owned and it does the mail. And if the police guy has to borrow it, we have to call the mailman back so you can borrow the car to go out for a police call. Here's another Texas story. Texas energy provider, please leave us. Millions of Texans are still without power, some for days now. Like I said, this is not great. I'm really happy I'm not in Texas. Then there are others like Savannah Thigpen, who has power. She said she's been doing all she can to conserve, but after just 2 days of barely any use, she is looking at a bill over $600. They can just do that? You can just turn up the electricity money thing? What's the money thing called? The price?
Bringing up the issue of Texas's deregulated electricity market, and you can choose your provider, but in some cases that could cost you big, and I do mean really big. Bree Berry has been digging for answers after one woman reached out. Bree?
Well, millions of Texans are still without power, some for days now. We know that. And then there are others like Savannah, who I spoke with, who has power. She said she's been doing all she can to conserve it. And for just about 2 days, she's looking at a bill over $600.
Before I went to bed Tuesday night, I got another notification that it was a negative $453.
That's a great bill. That's the kind of bill you want.
That was after paying nearly $200 on Monday. Savannah Thigpen lives alone in a one-bedroom apartment.
Wait, what does that mean? That was after paying nearly $200 on Monday? They bill daily in Texas? Because that would be really annoying. All right, did you pay the electric bill this morning? Because it's going to go out this evening if you don't pay it. Freaking deregulation, now the power companies are billing daily.
In the Spring Branch area. In November, she switched to Gritty, a company that charges market price for customers based on kilowatt usage. She made the switch trying to save every last cent. Like so many, she's out of work because of the pandemic.
They actually saved me a lot of money. I pretty much pay like maybe 5 cents per kilowatt instead of like the 10 to 15 cents.
I see. So you signed up for a variable rate kilowatt pricing scheme, and now they're coming to get you, and now you want to change the contract plans? What's your name? Savannah?
Instead of like the 10 to 15 cent. So they let us know on Sunday morning that it could go up to $1 to $3 per kilowatt.
Since joining in November, Thigpen says her bill is never more than $50. Texas is a free market, which means you get to choose who powers your home. Gritty service is simple, but not without risk.
On Sunday night, we got the email letting us know that it was going up and that if we could switch to do that, but it was Sunday and none of the places were open.
Oh, that's
in
polite.
A rare move Sunday night, Gritty sent out an email to all 29,000 of its customers urging them to switch to a different provider. Thigpen says she tried Monday morning, but no one was taking new customers. She hasn't brought her thermostat above 60 degrees in her home.
I'm really kind of predicting that I'm going to have to pay over $1,000 just for 1 week of electricity.
Now, here's the thing. She knows she signed up for this plan. She knew there was some risk involved, but she says she had no other choice. She reached out to me on Twitter because she also says she knows she's not the only one in this situation. Now, Gritty told customers for those who have it, they will not turn off their power if they have an unpaid bill at this time. She just says she's hoping that her bill will be forgiven, a portion of it, not all of it, but some of it.
That is kind of crazy. I think if you really want to look into it, there's going to be a lot of content and conversations going on in the next several months about Texas's deregulation of the power system. Sounds good on paper, right? Hey, pick your power provider. Competition of power providers. But I don't know. Doesn't look good now. But is that just because the media is saying it's not good? Or is it because no one has power? And all the wind turbines froze because they didn't set them up to not freeze. It's like, it's not going to freeze. It's Texas. Oh, it's froze. I don't know. So anyway, guess we'll do a new show. It's going to be called Power Research of Texas with Nick. And we read everything about the power system. This is definitely going to be a big topic that people are going to be able to learn about. So I don't know anything about it. But don't switch to Gritty unless you want to save money, but shut off all of your power if a winter storm comes and live by candlelight. I don't know why everyone's not just lighting candles and holding their hands over them like a mini campfire in your bedroom. That's what I do. I don't have any heaters. I've just got a row of candles. All right, uplifting news for the day. A kidnapped 10-year-old is saved by two sanitation workers on a pickup route. The girl, Jaleesa LaSalle, had gone missing from a family member's New Iberia home Sunday between 1 and 2 p.m. New Iberia? Weird country. Investigators initially believed that she was in imminent danger, and an Amber Alert detailing a gray 2012 Nissan Altima that Jaleesa had last been seen getting into was issued in the middle of the night. Oh my goodness. This is a funny photo. I don't know why this is funny. Pelican Waste and Debris workers Dion Merrick and Brandon Antoine knew something was amiss when they spotted a silver sedan in the middle of a field about 20 miles away in St. Martin Parish while on their trash pickup. Something told me, what's that car doing off in the field like that? Okay. I've previously said on this show, What's more suspicious than a car pulled over in an empty parking lot? Nothing. Right? It's a best case scenario. It's, you know, it's one of those, it's one of those grinder things, right? And second best case, is that, did I say best case scenario? Second best case scenario is a drunk man. Third best case scenario, it's apparently a kidnapped girl. I said, what's the car doing in that field or like that? Merrick said in a live video posted to Facebook Live. He did? There's a video? Then they used the garbage truck to block the car from escaping and called police. I blocked the truck in, making sure he couldn't get out. After responding, officer commended the men for their actions. Merrick began to tear up. All right, let's see what this video of the news says. But they're saying there's a Facebook video live. He went live while rescuing the girl. That's kind of crazy if that's true.
Got the Amber Alert roughly around 1:30 this morning. You know, it had a description of the car, the suspect, and the little girl.
At about 7:30, two employees for Pelican Waste and Debris were on the job. They were aware of an Amber Alert that had come out in the morning about a missing child in New Iberia. And as they drove down Burton Highway, they looked off to their left, and in the field behind me, they saw something suspicious.
Man, and something told me, bro. Something told me. Like,
here's the video. Look.
I said, what that car doing? Where it ducked off in the field like that?
And he was like, B, you notice what I just seen? And I was like, what's that? He was like, man, that looked like that silver Nissan that they say on the Amber Alert, that he seen on the Amber Alert.
She's safe right now, adding that he is a little girl of his own. We couldn't be prouder of Dion and Brandon. Mathern, the CEO of Pelican, said in an email, in fact, all of our Pelican Waste team has been heroically working without fail during the pandemic, quietly, professionally, and consistently, blah, 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 blah. So basically they said they didn't really explain how this arrest went down. Here's how the story reads. They used the garbage truck to block the car from escaping and called police. Responding officers commended the men for their actions. So they didn't say what they found. They didn't say, okay, they walked up to the car and there was actually a girl there pounding on the window trying to get out. They don't say that there was a man sitting there trying to act natural, eating a salad, and that they had to pry him for information before they popped the trunk and there was a girl there. We're missing some info. We're going to have to put this on the list of updates to try to find some affidavits about.
Facebook video to give us on the scene, nearly at the moment video. Dion Merrick and Brandon Antoine were the Pelican employees who chose to act and trap suspect Michael Serial in the wet and muddy field.
Look where you was parked. Look what I did to that truck. I blocked the truck in, make sure you couldn't get out.
Man, it would have been really embarrassing if this was the best case scenario. And it wasn't the second best case scenario. Or wait, third best.
Call 911 at the same time, back my truck up in the driveway to make sure he didn't get out, and talked to the 911 operator, and she basically told me had about a minute before a deputy was going to be on the scene.
Both men are fathers, dads, and what happened and could have happened? That strikes close to home, and why deciding to get involved was a no-brainer.
She's safe, bro. Don't do that, man. Thank God, man. You know what I'm saying? Because I got a little girl. You know what I mean? On my job, doing what I gotta do, dog. You know what I mean?
The other message from our heroes, so often they say people tend to drive by. You tend to look the other way. You choose not to get involved. Thank God our heroes, Dion and Brandon, chose to do otherwise.
Yeah, because every time I get involved, it's nothing. It's just a guy passed out on the street, and I kick his feet, and he goes, I'm fine. It's never been a dead man. It's never been anything. I've been trying to get involved for the show so that something would happen, but every time I see something weird and I try to get involved, I'm just embarrassing myself. Like, one time remember when I followed that lady who was swerving all over the road, and then I approached her when she finally, I took like 10 minutes following this lady. I finally get her cornered in a parking lot, and I go, are you having a medical issue? Because you're all over the road. She's like, I was having a medical issue, but I'm fine now. Don't know what that means, but couldn't arrest her. I had no legal authority to arrest her other than her swerving all over the road. All right, so Dion Merrick is actually on Facebook. Sanitation workers given life-saving award for rescuing a kidnapped 10-year-old. He got a life-saving valor award presented to Dion Merrick in acknowledgement for his heroic response to an Amber Alert. We, the mayor and the members of the New Iberia City Council, present this award to you in sincere gratitude for your courageous actions in a... And then it fades out. But I assume it's something very nice. So this sanitation worker gets an award. He says, I'm going to be on Nancy Grace tonight. And that was two nights ago. So if anyone has the Nancy Grace interview, you can do that. Wow, this guy's famous. I would say you guys know what to do. Go comment on his Facebook, but he's smart and you can't comment. Maybe we friend him? I should have asked for an interview. I forgot. Oh, well. I mean, he's Nancy Grace level now. He's not going to be replying to me on an interview. Has been News with Nick. Head on over to the website, newswithnick.com. And punch in your number. Tell all your friends to punch in their number. And I'll see you guys back here in a month. Right, everyone? Thanks for listening.
I decided to ask the mayor, if there were such relaxed gun laws, why there was so little crime in New Hampshire.
I have theories about why New Hampshire is particularly safe. And unfortunately they cut both ways. And part of the reason that New Hampshire is so safe is because quite honestly, it's the state is 98% white. The state is very, very homogenous. There's not a lot of diversity in New Hampshire.
I couldn't believe it when I heard that. I was like, he straight up said it. This man's done. He wasn't done. He's not the mayor anymore, but that's just because he decided not to be. If the news wants to blow up a mayor, 4,000 saying fend for yourself, why didn't they blow up a mayor of 25,000 saying that New Hampshire is not violent because it's 98% white? Nothing's real. Hashtag Bo Burnham.